Amazing love. Oh, what sacrifice. Just the words of that song just sort of struck me. Amazing love caused Jesus to go to the cross. What a sacrifice. Yeah, amazing love. It just struck me. Have you really got it? Have you really got that idea of the amazing love that the cross is? That Jesus sacrificed for us. That actually when he went to that cross, he went for you. It was in your place. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing, you know. And that's got nothing to do with what I'm going to preach about, but I just thought it was worth saying something about it. So we're looking at gifts of the Spirit. And today I want to talk a little bit about prophecy. And I'm going to give some background to the whole subject of prophecy. And talk about the gift of prophecy. And then next week, I'm going to talk about the practical side of it. How do you do it? How do you actually get into using this gift of prophecy? So let's just look at the Bible passage we've got there. This is 1 Corinthians 12. If you're looking at prophecy, you need to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. The two chapters together give you the gist of what the gift, spiritual gift of prophecy is. But this is 1 Corinthians 12, and I've got verse 1, and then I switch to verse 7 then after that, okay? So verse 1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." That's a good start, isn't it? Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. In other words, I don't want you to not know anything about gifts of the Spirit. And it's important that we should know about gifts of the Spirit. There was a teaching that was popular in some churches, still is in some churches, that the gifts died out. It's called cessationalism. And there are some churches that believe that the spiritual gifts that we're talking about sort of died out at the end of the first or second century. It's totally unscriptural. And as far as I'm concerned, it's nonsense. But some churches still believe it and don't use the spiritual gifts. Well, we don't. We believe in it. We believe in the spiritual gifts, and we believe that it's an important thing that we should know about it. So this is something you need to know. And then it goes on, verse 7. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines." Now, I did a sheet, which I think there's a copy of here. Thank you. And there are still some at the back if you didn't get one, which gives you a list of the spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking about. And it's just a sort of brief rundown, but it's handy as a reference thing to look at, and it gives you suggested bits to look at in the Bible. So you might want to make sure you've got a copy of that, and if we run out, I can run some more off. So I'm going to talk about prophecy. This is a vast subject, actually. Prophecy is a really big subject. We could run a whole sort of sermon series of several different things on prophecy. A large part of the Bible is prophecy. I think somebody said, and I can't remember who it was who said it, that a quarter of the Bible is prophecy. And 7/8 of it has already been fulfilled. And there's just one little bit that's not yet been fulfilled. And that's the prophetic stuff that is in Revelation, the end of the world stuff. And so the Bible is very prophetic. In fact, if you look at the Jewish scriptures, now the Jewish scriptures, or the Tanakh, is what our Old Testament is based on. And the Tanakh is quite interesting because it's divided into three sections. Okay? The one section is called the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Torah, the law, and then the Ketuvim, the writings. And that's how the Jewish scriptures are divided up. And actually, it's interesting, their prophets, that section on prophets, has all the prophets that we know about, people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and all those sort of people, and all the minor prophets, loads of minor prophets, I think 12, aren't there, minor prophets, you know, Amos and Haggai and all that lot. But they also include 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and they include Joshua as well in the Jewish scriptures as being prophets, which is quite interesting. So prophecy is a really important part of the scriptures. And of course there are prophets in the New Testament as well. And I'm sure that you've picked up on the various prophets that you find in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everybody knows the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. You know, the sort of Isaiah stuff, you know. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. Do you know there are several hundred prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus, or which are fulfilled in the coming of Jesus? So let me begin by just getting an idea about the distinction between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy, because it's quite important. You see, in the Old Testament, the prophets seem to be a bit weird, really. You know, I don't know if you've ever sort of got a picture in your mind of an Old Testament prophet. I always think of somebody with lots of hair and beard and, you know, all over the place sort of thing. That's probably just my sort of thought, but they can be seen as a little bit weird. And when you start looking in the New Testament, get John the Baptist. Well, he was weird, you know. He was the guy that lived on honey and locusts and stuff like that, you know. And so what we must not get the idea is that the gift of prophecy is weird. It's not. Even though we find in the Old Testament some of the prophets were a little bit on the weird side. So let's just look at the distinction between Old and New Testament prophets. So in the Old Testament, the prophets were prophesying to the nation of Israel. That's who their audience was. And they ministered the Old Covenant. Basically, they're ministering the law, the Torah, first 5 books of our Bible. They focused on it. That's what they focused on. They focused on law. And they focused on commandments. And when you get to the New Testament, there is various bits of prophecy there. But that prophecy is to the church. Because when you get into the New Testament, you get the early church starts to, you know, coming from the Acts of the Apostles and so on. They ministered the New Covenant. And we need to be aware of the New Covenant. The New Covenant is Jesus. It's grace. It's salvation. It's fantastic. It's something that you need to be absolutely full of, the New Covenant. They focus on grace. That's another subject you could go on forever and ever about. You know, grace, unmerited favour of God. We don't deserve anything, and yet God gives us so much, and we don't deserve it. That's grace. And then they focus on the church. So that's the difference. And the Old Testament prophets were instrumental in building the scriptural basis of the Old Testament. So what they were doing, they were speaking the literal word of God. So when you read Isaiah, that is the infallible, literal word of God. And the same with the other Old Testament prophets, where they've been written down. And they were anointed. They were often isolated. They often worked alone. When you get into the New Testament, the New Covenant, there are sort of three groups of people involved in prophecy. So there are those who have an anointed prophetic ministry, which has developed from the gift of prophecy. There's also another group that are regarded by the church as being a prophet. In Ephesians 4 is the place where it talks about being prophets. And in fact, one of the Corinthian passages also talks about prophets. But the office of a prophet, this man is a prophet. There are people in the church around the world today who are regarded as being prophets. You have to be very careful with this, because a lot of people are self-appointed prophets and come up with some weird and wonderful things that I suspect are not particularly of God. But there are people who are respected by the whole church who have got that ministry of, or the office of, being a prophet. And then the third group of people is us. Because the gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit gift of prophecy, is for all believers. So guys, you are prophets in the sense of having that gift of prophecy. Did you know that? Did you know you were a prophet? You might as well get used to the idea that that gift of prophecy is for you. You've got to learn how to use it sometimes, but it's for you. So let's think about the Holy Spirit gift of prophecy. Remember, we started with, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then here's some verses now from chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Eagerly desire that gift of prophecy. Some Bible versions actually, instead of strengthening, use the word edification. And that gives us what EEC, which is edification, encouraging, comforting, a sort of summary of what the gift of prophecy should be doing as far as the church is concerned. Strengthening, encouraging, comforting. And then chapter 14, verse 31 says, for you can all prophesy. Can I say that again? For you can all prophesy. Notice the word all. You can all prophesy in turn. You don't all do it at the same time, because that would be out of order. And that particular part of 1 Corinthians 14 is all about the order of church services, how it should be, everything should be done in order. So you don't get four or five people all standing up and shouting prophecy out at the same time. You prophesy in turn. You take it in turns. Because we're polite, aren't we anyway? You know, Christians, we're polite. Well, most of us are anyway. For all can prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. You see these inclusive words that keep coming up. All, everyone. And so we need to learn about this gift of prophecy. The model has changed from the old covenant. I don't know if anybody will remember Mark Isles. Mark Isles is actually Steve's cousin, isn't he?
Mark Cousin's husband.
Yeah, he's your cousin's husband. That's right. So Mark Isles is one of the guys that leads a ministry of teaching, particularly about prophecy. And we had him here some years ago to speak to us. And he describes the old covenant prophet, the sort of Isaiah, the Jeremiah, those sort of prophets, as being lone rangers. In other words, a bit of a maverick. They're doing their own thing. And then he describes the new covenant model as a spirit-filled member functioning in the body as part of a team. So this ministry gift of the Holy Spirit is about a spirit-filled member. Hope you're spirit-filled. If you're not, you ought to be. Ask the Lord to fill you. Get what you ask. It's a spirit-filled member functioning in the body, that's the church. So it's functioning in the church as part of a team. Again, there's that inclusive word there, part of a team. And rather than speaking the infallible word of God, which is what the Old Testament prophets did, because it gets written down and becomes part of what we call the canon of Scripture, which is the Bible. Rather than that, with the gift of prophecy, you share an impression of what you think you're hearing from God. What you think the Father is saying. What you think the Father might have wanted to be shared with the church. Or sometimes what you think the Father might be wanting to say to an individual. And the final authority in doctrine and teaching is always Scripture. And we will see as we delve more into that, that any prophetic words have to be subject to the Bible and the teaching that's there. So if somebody comes along and says, oh, I've got a word for you, and they give you a word which is completely against something that's in Scripture, you can discount it straight away. Because the gift of prophecy does not undermine the infallible written word of God. And sometimes, because the nature of this gift, you do get people who sometimes get a bit crazy with it. And we don't tend to have that around here. We've always had a good experience of prophecy, but some churches do get strange things happening. And so we just have to be careful that you don't accept anything that is against Scripture. Scripture is our final authority in everything. I wonder why Paul would tell us to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, and especially prophecy. He emphasizes prophecy. Well, I'll tell you why I think it is. I think it is because God wants to communicate with his people. In other words, God wants to talk to you. Of course, it does mean you have to listen. God wants to talk to you. God wants to communicate with each one of us. He wants to communicate with us individually, personally. And sometimes we need a word from God personally. When things are going, pear-shaped in your life, sometimes it's really great to get a word from God to help you out. And sometimes when things are going spinningly and it's all wonderful, it's great to get a word from God to encourage you in that as well. So God wants to speak to us individually. And he wants to speak to us as a church, as a body. It's an interesting thing, the way he does it. He's doing it through these gifts. There are other gifts that God speaks through as well, and we'll look at those as we go on. So Paul gives us a lot of guidance about the gift of prophecy. So we learn from 1 Corinthians 12:7. That all spiritual gifts are given to each one. Did you notice that? They're given to each one. They're given individually. And they're given for the common good. In other words, for the good of everybody. Common good. Each one and for the common good. They're not given to enhance our reputation so that we can become terribly important people. Oh yeah, he's got a gift of prophecy, so he's really important. It's not that at all. It's about the common good and us having stuff together, working together as a church, supporting each other, praying for each other. It's all part of the family, if you like, this whole prophetic thing. They're meant to build up the church. that all spiritual gifts are meant to build up the church. They're not meant to undermine the church. They're not meant to knock you down. So if you get a prophecy that comes along, or somebody comes along and says, I've got this word for you, well, you're rubbish, forget it. Because remember where we started with this. We started with EEC, strengthening, encouraging, comforting. Not condemning, not undermining, not criticizing. You can be corrected through prophecy. Sometimes you might get, the Lord might say to you, you need to think about this. But you don't get condemned, because there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no condemnation in Jesus at all. And then Paul expounds on this in the second verses, because he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Follow the way of love. So there's all sorts of instructions he's given us. Eagerly desire the gifts, follow the way of love. You need to ask the Lord to release that gift to you. Don't just come. You have to be prepared to ask the Lord for it. And this is a way of love. It's the love of the Lord. It's a love for his people. And in verse 3, Paul tells us that the gift of prophecy is supposed to do what it's supposed to do for his people. We saw that. I'm going to say it again. Strengthening, encouraging, comforting. So this is about listening to God. You know, it's about sitting down wherever you go to get some time with God and listening to what God is saying. Lots of people will pray a bit. You know, you might spend some time praying. How much time do you spend listening to see what God is saying to you? We some years ago, we had a whole load of stuff about listening to God and finding that secret place, that place where you really can connect to God. And some different people have different things. Some people find that, you know, you go out for a walk and you find that you can connect with God then. I always find that when I'm anywhere with water, sort of waterfalls, lakes, seas, that's the sort of places that I find that I connect with God. When I was in Canada, I spent a lot of time wandering along beaches with the water, and I had 3 prophetic words for different people while I was out there, because I was in the place where I could just hear God. Prophetic words to individuals or to the church should build up. They should build up our relationship together. They should build up our unity. They shouldn't divide us. They should encourage us to be unified together. They should strengthen us. They should encourage us. You know, when you receive a word that really encourages you or strengthens you in difficult times, that's great. You can receive a word that from God. Remember, God is the God of all comfort. There's a verse that I thought of when I was thinking about this. This is from 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. So the prophetic word that we get is to help us, to comfort us, and to help us to comfort other people. That verse always reminds me that we should share and pass on the comfort that we receive from God. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Have you heard me say this before? The Greek word there is paraklesis, which can be translated as comforter. Paraklesis literally is 2 words put together. It means to call alongside. Or parakaleo is the verb actually. So to call alongside. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us. So in this prophetic thing, it's the Holy Spirit coming alongside us to speak into our situations, to encourage us, to bless us. In all situations, whether happy or sad or difficult, challenging, whatever, God the Holy Spirit wants to come and walk with us. He wants to come and walk alongside us. He's the comforter. He wants to comfort us. And one way of joining in with that is to ask him to give you words for other people. We'll be looking at that a little bit more next week, because that's something that we need to concentrate on slightly differently to get the practical side of it. But our God wants to express to us his compassionate heart, his merciful heart. He wants us to know that so that we can share that with others who need to know it. And then the third verse that we had there, which was 1 Corinthians 14:31, Paul reminds us that you can all prophesy. The gift is available to use to all Christians, all those who are spirit-filled. It's not just special people. It's not just very spiritual people. It's everybody. We can all exercise this gift. And the same is true of all the spiritual gifts. And that will help build us all up, build up the body, build up the church, build up our relationships, and help us on our way. The gift of prophecy can sometimes reveal things that are hidden. Sometimes they may be things that we know in our head, but we need to be reminded of. You know, sometimes, you know, you might get someone who comes to you and says, well, God just wants to say to you, I love you. You know God loves you. Well, at least I hope you do. But every now and again, it's good to hear somebody just confirm that and say, God wants to say to you, I love you. Sometimes it might be somebody saying to you, God says to you, you are beautiful to him. I don't know if you've ever thought that, but you are beautiful to God. And remember, God knew you before you were ever born. He knew you before you were conceived. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knows you. Psalm 139. You know, God knows you. And sometimes you get that sort of confirmation coming to you through words of prophecy. Many people view the idea of prophecy as foretelling the future. And that was certainly the case with a lot of the Old Testament stuff. Spiritual gift of prophecy is not so much about that. It's more foretelling rather than forthtelling. Forthtelling is telling the future. And sometimes you get a prophecy which might actually say something about what's going to happen in the future. But most of the time, it's actually telling you what God is saying to you. It's speaking forth God to you or to the person you're bringing the prophecy to. And it's not necessarily going to be about the future. Rare occasions, I think, my experience of prophecy has been actually looking at the future. So when we're praying for this gift, we should be asking God what he wants to say. Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to you? What do you want to say to other people in the church? Is there something that you want to say to people? That's the sort of questions we should be asking God. And remember, Paul told the Corinthians to be eager to prophesy. Eager. Sounds as if we ought to have some sort of enthusiasm about it, you know, get into it and not just leave it on one side or say, well, it's not for me, I don't understand it. You know, it's for all of us. And the last thing I want to say today is to emphasize, be expectant, practice listening to God. Be eager to prophesy. Be expectant. Practice listening to God. Be eager to prophesy. And maybe just one other point. They're the chapters. You notice that chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts. Chapter 14 is about spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, sandwiched between them, is about love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. Why did Paul do that? Why did he interrupt what he was talking about these gifts, and stick in this chapter about love? I think it's because he wanted us to realise that the exercise of these gifts have to be done with love. He says that even if he has a spiritual gift of prophecy and knowledge and tongues, but does not have love, he's nothing. So he sandwiched those chapters about gifts with the wonderful chapter. I mean, chapter 13 is a wonderful chapter. It's very, very well known. It's often read at marriages, actually, although it's not really about that sort of love. It's really about the love of God. And so we conclude from this that he wanted the church to exercise the gifts in love. That's the important thing that we can conclude. He wants his Holy Spirit gifts always to be exercised in love. Well, there you go. That's my introduction to this. Any questions? You've got an opportunity. If you want to ask a question, I'll give you 2 minutes. If nobody's asked a question in 2 minutes, we will finish. But if anybody's suddenly got a burning question you'd like to ask, then please feel free to do that. Sorry.
To practice listening to God.
Yep.
How would you suggest to do that?
How do I suggest practicing listening to God? Well, there are lots of ways of doing it, and it depends on a lot on your own personality. For me, I find that by reading Scripture, I find that I hear from God. You know, around Scripture, I find Christian songs are often things that help me to hear from God. And sometimes it's just a question of getting on your own, away from everything else, and spending some time praying and just asking the Lord to speak to you. And I mean, that's something else. I find, for example, while I was in Canada, because I was actually on my own quite a lot, I could hear God better because of that. Has anybody else got any experience of that, of listening to God? It's because it's different people will have different experiences of it, but there are lots of different ways.
Can I just add something? When we did the ladies' prayer meeting for about a year, and we met regularly online, it was a time of great prophecies being shared, and it was a meeting together. So another possible way is to find one or two other people to pray with and seek the Lord with. That might be another way of doing it.
Yep. Yep. Anybody else got any questions? So next week, you can all be prophesying, right? Because you've all got it now, aren't you? Okay.
Thank you, Mike. We look forward to part two next week. Do take on board what Mike said. Let us all ask the Lord to fill us. And if you want someone else to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, grab a friend after the service, because we can all pray for each other. And just to encourage you, when I was about to go out with Steve years ago, I phoned up Sue Redford and said, I just want to tell you that I've gone out for a meal with Steve. And she said, I know. And I said, who told you? She said, nobody. God told me. And then Steve and I decided we'd get someone from the church to pray for us as we were on the brink of going out. And we decided we'd ask Sue. because we both knew her. So we got her to come round. That was why I phoned her up and said, I'm going out with Steve, would you come and pray? So 2 days later, we met with her, didn't we? And she had an enormous prophecy. And she shared it, and everything in it came to be. And I was flabbergasted, because I thought only like famous Christians had things like this. You know, you read these books and people say things, but be encouraged, it can happen to any of us. Because I still think about now what Sue shared, and it was, she'd obviously sought the Lord, she'd obviously prayed before him beforehand, and then she shared it and it happened. So she's someone in our church that's operating in that gift. So it's good to value each other's gifts, maybe have a chat to Sue about it as well, because that's just an interesting example. So thank you very much for being here today. Tea and coffee will be available, and I'm just going to pray the blessing from Numbers. And just before I do, just to say that in 2 weeks' time, next week we've got Mike with part two of Prophecy, but the following week on the 13th of November, we welcome back Matt Baker, who used to be the pastor of this church years ago. He's the sports chaplain of Charlton and national sports chaplain director. Yeah, so an interesting speaker to come. He's agreed to speak to us twice a year, so his next visit will be 2 weeks' time. So bear that in mind. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a good week.